Today's daf from Masechet Shabbos on this Freilich and Purim day is brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, where it's not quite Purim. And today's daf is daf Dalet. We got all the way down to the two dats, where we discussed the difference between a chotzer to the makom where you wanted it and to a chotzer where you didn't want it. In the course of yesterday's questioning, we wanted to know what the din would be about saving someone else from doing an iser, or saving yourself from doing an Isser by doing an Isser Kal in order to prevent an Isser Chomer. So let's get back to that question of Rabbi Barabaye. We're over there. Someone had put in a piece of dough, which was to bake a pita on the side of an oven. And since there's an Isser, as opposed to our ovens, but there's an Isser of Ridiata Pat in those days where it was a Chochma to take pot off of the side without damaging it, the question is whether if someone had put on during Shabbos, he had put on a bit of bread and was going to cook now, whether he's allowed to rescue, we thought the question was, he's allowed to rescue himself to get it off of the side of the tanur, even though there's an Isser involved in getting it off of the side of the tanur, in order to avoid a chiyav of chatas. Kodem sheyavol lidei chiyav chatas, o lo hitiro. So Rav Acha bar Abaye pointed out to Ravina that the case makes no sense. There is no such case. Why is that? Because try to figure out what we're talking about. We're talking about a case we did at Peshogeg, assuming you said chatas. I mean, so what happened? He didn't realize that he had put it in, right? Until after it baked. I mean, so then nobody asked the question. When you say hitiru, lamani hitiru, he didn't know he did anything. So he never asked us. So it must be that he had put it in and then he realized, oh my God, I put it in. It's Shabbos. I better take it out. Can I take it out? And that's the question. Then he wouldn't have been a chayav achatas anyway, because you are not chayav achatas for doing only part of the malacha b'shogeg if you remembered in the middle. And since over here we remembered in the middle, and it says in the Mishnah that kol chayavecha ta'otein chayavin asher tehei techilatan shigaga v'sofan shigaga, they have to be unaware of the chet from the beginning of the maisa all the way until the end of the chiyav. And over here he remembered in the middle and came into Besdin and asked, am I allowed to take it down? So he wouldn't have been chayav chatas anyway. So what are you asking? Whether we could take it out in order to save him the chatas? So perhaps the case is that he did it b'mezid. So then why did it say before he would be chayav chatas? It would be before he was over on an iser skila? No? Omer of Shila, no. Let me explain it. You're right. It is not exactly the way we thought. He did not remember in the middle, but someone saw him. So someone saw him. He meanwhile leaves the premises, and this guy who saw him wants to save him by taking it out so that the guy shouldn't be chayav achatas. And that was the question. So he comes in and he asks the Rav, am I allowed to take it down and to be over on Rediyas HaPas before this guy is over on an Isser of Shabbos Chamor? So that means, Loman Hitiru La'acherim, other individuals, Matkiflar of Sheshes. What kind of question is that? Why in the world would we tell a person to do an Isser in order to prevent someone else from, who already did the act of Isser, mind you? I mean, it's not exactly the case where by doing an Isser, you're going to prevent a guy from doing an Isser. I mean, there we might have elements of that, such as a chover who's allowed to be terim shalom and amukaf in order to prevent an amaretz from eating something that was, that maybe. I mean, Tosu says not necessarily because over there it would have been his fault. But anyway, even if maybe. But over here, I mean, the guy finished the Isser. He did the Maisa Isser. Now you want to save him from the Chiyav Chatas on that Maisa Isser. Why would we tell you to do an Isser in order to help somebody? I don't get it. So Chatei will tell a person, you do a Chet, Kedei she yizkeh chavercha. That way your friend won't have to pay all this money for a Korban Chatas. That doesn't make sense. Okay, says Rav Ashi, okay, I go back. You know, I think maybe it does mean b'mezid. We'll have to change the nusach. We thought that he was asking kodem sheyavo lidei chiyav chatas. It should say kodem sheyavo lidei chiyav skila, you know? And Rav Acha b'rei de Rava actually had quoted Rav Bibi as making a statement, not as asking a question, at least that's our girsa. And Om Rav Bibi bar Avaya, if in fact somebody had put in bread into a tanur on Shabbos on purpose, so then they were matir him to take off before he would come to be chayev on an iser skila, even though obviously he wasn't really going to be chayev. I mean, if he was really going to be chayev skila, as Tosfos points out, he wouldn't pay attention to you telling him that he can't take it down. That would be idiotic. So, of course, he wouldn't be chayev skila if the only reason that he's not taking it down is because of the fact that you're not allowing him to take it down. But the point is, it's an iser skila. That's the issue. And that's the way that we state it, not ask it, and now everything makes sense. Now let's get back to the Mishnah. Okay, one of the interesting things that we had in the Mishnah was that the Mishnah talks about a case where someone, either the Balabayit or the Ani, extends a hand into the other Rishus. Now, we mentioned before that we've got a little bit of a question of how to view that hand. Yesterday, we started with the question of, yesterday we started with the question of whether a hand is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim when it's stuck into another Rishus, which is a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochanan, and we proved that it's not. Now, of course, the other question is it a hand that is considered to be part of the body, where the body is, where it was? We proved that that also was not the case, both for the case of the Yad Ani and the case of the Yad HaBalabayit. And we started our concerns about whether the Rishus of the hand was considered to be a Carmelite, and that's what got us into this whole thing. Now let's move back to the hand, okay, and recognize we have another problem. The other problem that we have is, irregardless of what Rishus it is, remember that besides the idea of being in a different Rishus, it has to be an Akira from that Rishus, and it has to be Hanocha in that Rishus. Now, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, Akira and Hanocha refer to a situation in which something is firmly implanted and has a real place in that Rishus. One of the halachas that defines having a real place is that it is on a secure location, which is defined all over as a place that is 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim on a minimum. So if it's standing on a spike or something, then it's not considered to be really at rest in the Rishus, even though it's within the confines of that Rishus. So this is an entirely new issue. Forget about what Rishus it is. The problem is that the hand is not 4 by 4 tvachim, obviously. So in what sense would we be talking about an Akira and a Hanocha on a hand that is so small? Ask the Gemara, Amar Chayav. So let's take the first case of it, but the truth is it applies to all of the cases. So if the Ani puts his hand into the Rishus HaYachid, and he deposits something into the hand of the Balabayit, is our opening case. So we said the Ani is Chayav, but why is he Chayav? We do not have in either of the case, whether the Ani took it out of the hand of the Balabayit, or whether the Balabayit deposited it in the hand of the Ani, or any of the cases that we had of Chayav. There should be no Chayav, because you do not have an Arba al Arba Mokam, and therefore you do not have a Hanok, or you do not have an Akira. Omar Rabbah, well, you're right, this is a serious issue. It must be going according to Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva Shita, we believe, is that you do not need a Mokum Arba'a Arba'a to be Chayav. And how do I know that? It's not. Because we have a Mishnah, what the Gemara is going to very sneakily do to us is force us to contemplate not only the sugya of the requirement of a proper Hanocha and Akira, but also to come to learn more about the dinim of Hotza'ah by introducing two new forms of Hotza'ah. One form of Hotza'ah is Zerika, where you throw something. We've been talking about depositing something. And another form of Hotza'ah is called Hoshata, where something is passed from one Rishus to another into, without actually you moving it, but passing it in and going through another Rishus in between, which we have a whole new limud from in the Mishkan, as we're going to see. So that's the sneaky part. But on the surface, we're talking about the question of whether a hand is considered to be a place to do Akira Vahanocha because of the fact that it doesn't have Arba al Arba. Now, since Rabbi Akiva talks about a case of throwing something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, and in this case, it passes through a Rishus HaRabim in between. So Rabbi Akiva says that you're Chayev. Now, how would you be Chayev? You're not Chayev on moving an object from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, are you? Of course not. You'd only be Chayev on moving it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. And yet Rabbi Akiva says you're Chayev, despite the fact that it just passed through the Rishus HaRabim, and it never landed in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, doesn't that make it very clear that according to Rabbi Akiva, it does not require A mokum of arba, as a matter of fact, it doesn't even really require to be at rest. It only requires you to be within the space of that other reshus in order to be chayev. And therefore, how many Rabbi Akiva de Omer lo beino mokum arba al arba a titan hazarek mishut ha'yachid v'shut ha'rabim v'shut ha'rabim be'em l'shut ha'yachid v'shut ha'rabim be'emtza. If you went through a reshus ha'rabim while the object is moving, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would still be chayev. Now let me point out that this leads to something of a question, because if Rabbi Akiva says you're chayev, what he should have said, if you really do not need a mokum of arba al arba, he should have said you're chayev two times, because you both landed in Rishus HaRabim, and then you moved on from Rishus HaRabim and went into Rishus HaYochid. If you're telling me that being within the airspace is sufficient to be in that Rishus, then something is strange about Rabbi Akiva's statement, because it isn't so that he would only be Chayev. It would be that he did two separate acts of Hotza'ah, one of them from Rishut HaYochid to Rishut HaRabim, and one of them Ahachnasah from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYochid. Now, we're going to get to this a little bit later. But taking it on simplistic terms, we'll just say that he sort of was makatzer. And he said, okay, fine, you'd be chayev. Maybe you're chayev twice. But the point is, you clearly did not do neither an akira nor hanocha in the Rishut HaRabim, and nonetheless he's claiming that you're chayev. So Rabbi Akiva obviously holds. The Chachamim say, well, how could you be chayev? There was no akira hanocha. So Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that according to Rabbi Akiva, with being held within the airspace of that Rishus HaRabim is the full equivalent of having landed solidly in the Rishus HaRabim. Well, let me tell you something. If you're suspended in the air and you're considered to be munach in the Rishus, obviously you do not need a mokum arba al arba, because if you're moving through the air, you don't have any mokum in which you physically come to rest. So clearly he doesn't require mokum arba al arba. The Rabbanan say, we do not consider the placement within a defined space to be the equivalent of being at rest in that space. So lo amrinan kluta kemishun chadamya. Wait a minute. You're telling me that Rabba understands Rabbi Akiva that way, and he therefore explains that the mission is going according to Rabbi Akiva, but Rabba does not understand Rabbi Akiva that way in that machlokas. At least he wasn't sure. So, lemeima de pshita le rabba de bekluta kemishun chadamya. You're telling me that it was clear to Rabba that Rabbi Akiva definitely holds kluta kemishun chadamya, and that we were talking about within the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim that was within asara tvachim from the ground, because above asara tvachim from the ground, you are not considered to be in the space which is defined by the Rishus HaRabim at all. A avir beyond asara tvachim is considered to be a mokum ptur, which is the only other option, midyoraita, remember. Carmelit doesn't exist, midyoraita. But the only option, midyoraita, is either Rishut HaYochid or Rishut HaRabim or neither. And that neither is called a mokum ptur. So being in an area asara tvachim above the land surface of the Rishus HaRabim, you are in a mokum ptur. Now, Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to tell me that the question over here was, do we consider it to have been within the confines of the Rishus HaRabim, then he would have to understand that Rabbi Akiva was referring to a case where you threw from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid through a Rishus HaRabim within the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, because obviously you're not going to be chayev if you consider it to be in a mokum ptur. But the problem is that Rabbi himself, when he quoted that Mishnah, he would say, well, I really am not sure what they're arguing about. Because I mean, Rabba wanted to know, is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim referring to a case where the object passes through the avir of the Rishus HaRabim within Asara Tvachim, and therefore the machlokes would indeed be Baha Pligi that Rabbi Akiva holds Klutik Bishun Chadamya, the way that we just defined it, which would lead us to conclude, indeed, as Rab is claiming now, that the Mishnah is going alibi to Rabbi Akiva, and that a hand, therefore, is certainly as good as something that's suspended in midair, right? And therefore, the machlokas would be Rabbi Akiva, who holds kluta kebishun chadamya, says you're chayev. And the chachomim say, no, there's no such thing. Either it's at rest or it's not at rest. It's moving through the air, it's not in that space fully. But if that were true, then if it was lamala mi'asara tvachim, if it was above, it was in a mokum tur, then everybody, of course, would agree that you'd be potter, because how the heck could you be chayev throwing something from Rishut HaYochid into a Mokum Ptur, even if it would be considered to be in the airspace? A Mokum Ptur is, by definition, a potter, and as a matter of fact, even, in most cases, even mutter to move there lechatchila. So l'mala mi'asura, everybody rolled its potter, and that would mean, now here is where the Gemara sneakily got us into a whole new mind space, which is a whole perek later on in the Masechet, which contemplates a different type of hotzah, which is called throwing things from one rishus to another. And the issue over there would be that at the time of the avoda in the Beit, not in the Beit HaMikdash, but in the Mishkan, of course, which is the source of the understanding that we have of the nature of Melocha on Shabbos, part of the functionality of the Mishkan was actually the loading up of the Mishkan onto the agalot that they had and the movement of the things of the Mishkan on the agalot. Now, the derech of the movement of the agalot was that they would pile up these moving trucks, these big, gigantic trucks, next to the Mokum HaMishkan. They would pick up the krashim and pass them along the wagons so that they loaded up the back wagon, then the one before it, and then the one until finally they got to loading up the wagon that was closest. Now, the thing is that when you do this, as we're going to analyze in the Gemara, you will be passing from Rishut HaYachid. The wagon was Rishut HaYachid, and the Gemara figures this out again later, that it was Asara Tvachim, and therefore was considered to be a platform raised above the Rishut HaRabim of the Machane, was considered therefore to be its own Rishus. Each wagon was its own Rishus. And in order to pass it from one wagon to another wagon, I had to pass over the area between the wagons, which was the Rishut HaRabim. Over there, we learn out that passing one of the krashim to an individual who's standing on the other wagon, or for that matter, passing it from the top of the load of one wagon to the top of the load of another wagon, is an actual melacha. Obviously, they could not throw the krashim. That's all you needed to throw, the 500-ton krashim. I mean, these things were enormous, and that would have caused nothing but damage, even if it were possible. But this was hoshata. Moshit mirushut hayachid, lirushut hayachid, derech rishut harabim. We're over there. We learn out a new malacha of hotzah from the Mishkan. Is throwing something from a rishut hayachid to another rishut hayachid and having it cross over rishut harabim, is that the equivalent of being moshit from a Rishus HaRabim, being motioned from the Rishut HaYochid of the Agalah to the other Agalah, or not? And that nobody even considered. That's one way of understanding it. Nobody said that we should see Zorek as being the equivalent of Moshit, and we have a completely different issue over here. We're not talking about above Asara Tvachim, we're talking about below Asara Tvachim. The issue is Klutik Mishun Chadamya, which is how Rabbah just explained the Mishnah. But, says Rabbah, maybe that would be wrong. O Dilma, perhaps the Machlokas of Yitzhak Rabbi Akiva the Chachamim is that we're talking about above Asara Tvachim. And the Machlokas is that according to Rabbi Akiva, we see Zorek as an expression of this new din of being Moshit ben Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaYachid. And therefore, according to him, even Lamala Mi'asara Tvachim, it would be the same. And there's this new type of Otsar, which includes not only passing, but also throwing. Whereas the Rabbanan say, there's no comparison of Zrika to Oshata. But if we were talking about a case of Lamata Mi'asara, maybe everybody might hold. Why? Because Kluta within a space may be, according to everyone, Kamishun Chadamya. Why is Rabbah now saying that the Mishnah is going Alibet Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbah, in his previous question, made it clear that he wasn't even sure about that? Okay, fine. What's your problem? You know, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of an undeveloped mind. So Rabbah once had the question, and then he determined the answer. I don't understand. Just because he once had the question, he has to have the question forever. So if he changed his mind, after he asked the question, he couldn't figure out the answer. He then came to the conclusion upon closer examination that the Machlokes is in the Svara of Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. And it's because Rabbi Akiva holds Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya. So that's why he explains the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. Now, what's your beef? Says the Gemara, okay, it doesn't work anyway. Because the Mishnah has two cases. The Mishnah has a case of doing akira out of somebody's hand. Remember? You pick up the money out of the hand of the balabai to take it out into Rosh Hasharabim, or vice versa. You pick up the contract or the receipt from the hand of the honey, bring it into Rosh Hashayachid. That's called akira, not hanocha. Maybe Rabbi Akiva Otz Kluta Kamishun Kadamya is only vis-a-vis hanocha, not vis-a-vis akira. Because, I mean, after all, he didn't say you're chayev twice, did he? He said you're chayev once. So apparently, when you threw from the Rishut HaYachid through the Rishut HaRabim, the moment that it gets into the avir of the Rishut HaRabim, Malata Me'asara, indeed, you have done a hotzah because it's within the airspace. But you would not be chayev on the continued movement of the ball that you threw from the Rishus HaRabim into the next Rishus HaYachid because you never did an akira. Because in order to do akira, it's very possible that that's the whole point, that an akira is only possible where something is securely within a space. So it could arrive in a different space, but it would never be considered to be a real hotza'ah if you didn't remove it from a secure space. So perhaps it's only hanacha u deloboy, but maybe akira you do need. So scotch that, we don't have an answer. Back to the Mishnah. Why are you chayev on a hand for both akira and hanacha if the hand is not arba al arba? Okay, says Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you why. This Mishnah is going according to Rebbe. I mean, after all, he wrote the Mishnah. Which Rebbe are you talking about exactly? Where would Rebbe say you don't need a mokum arba al arba? Hi, Rebbe. Ilei maha Rebbe. Is it the following Rebbe that appears in the Braita? D'tanya. Somebody throws an object in Rosh HaRabim, and this introduces yet a new concept of Hotzah that we also haven't spoken about yet. So we talked about Hotzah in terms of Rosh HaYachid, Rosh HaRabim. We talked about Hachnasa in terms of Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYachid. We talked about Hoshata, Rosh HaYachid, Rosh HaYachid, Derech Rosh HaRabim. We talked about Zrika and the question of perhaps whether it's learned from Hoshata. But we never spoke about a whole new idea. And that new idea is the concept of personal space. Now, personal space was never an issue. It was always a question from one externally defined space into another externally defined space. Today, the Gemara is introducing us to a new concept of Hotzah, which is called Hamavir Mitrilas Arba Atzov Arba in Rosh HaRabim, not to be confused with Arba'a al Arba'a, the masculine form referring to Tfachim, Arba al Arba, the female form, referring to Amot. So, if you walk in the middle of Rosh HaRabim, you pick up an object from the ground, you walk four Amos, and you then put it down, that is considered to be a new type of Hotzah called moving an object from a personal space of Arba Amos into another space of Arba Amos. Why Arba Amos? This will become quite clear to you by walking into an elevator. So if you walk into an elevator that has other people in it, you begin to feel uncomfortable when somebody enters into an area within Arba Amos, and that's why everybody's always looking at their hands or looking up or looking down or trying to stare at the buttons or whatever it is, because their space is no longer their own. So that is called personal space. The Gemara will learn out later that in moving an object from the beginning of a personally defined space to the end of a personally defined space and depositing it right outside is an act of Hotzah, unbelievably. Now, in that case, Rebbe says, suppose you threw an object from the beginning of Arba Amot in Rosh HaRabim and it landed on something sticking out of the wall. Right? So it's Agabi Ziz Koshu. Rebbe says, even though it's just a small, tiny shelf, Rebbe says you're chayev. But how could you be chayev? There was no hanacha. V'chachamim potrim. And therefore, what we now see is that Rebbe obviously does not require a mokum of arba al arba, which means that in the case of the Mishnah, Rebbe is simply being consistent. The reason that you're chayev on the hand of the balabayat or the hand of the oni in depositing it or taking it out was because, according to Rebbe, the space and the air space is what's important. When I say air, obviously I don't mean air. I mean the enclosed space is what's defined, and that's all that counts. Well, wait a minute. remember that over there, we explained that it's a special case. And that was, Abaye gave an explanation of that case. And Abaye said, now we're about to do a new incredible trick. So keep your minds wide open for this trick. Because what we're talking about until now has been, oh man, I love it. What we've been talking about until now is the question of where the hand is considered to be, right? So we spoke about, is the hand considered to be in the place where the body is? No. Is the hand considered to be in the place where the hand is? No. Might the hand be considered to be a new reshus, like a Carmelite? That was the discussion about Kansinan that we had yesterday, right? But we were so naive, guys. We thought that that would incorporate the question of whether a hand is considered to be a mokum arbal arba or not. It actually has nothing to do with that, because there's two completely separate issues. Even if we would consider a hand that is attached to a body that is in a different reshus not to be in the same reshus that that body is in when the hand is extended into another reshus, but would we not be able to agree that a hand attached to a body that is firmly ensconced on the ground is in a secure location? Forget about what location. But that hand represents a mokum arba al arba because it is firmly implanted on the ground. Extending it into another place doesn't mean it has to drag the reshus along with it. It only has to drag the security along with it. In which case, its security from one reshus may provide placement in the other reshus. And therefore, Abaye says, you know what the case was over there? When it landed on a little piece sticking out, you say, in Rishus HaRab, oh, come on, Shmueli, smile, man. This is wonderful. What's that serious look? And on a Purim yet, you should be ashamed of yourself. So what we have over here is the case of a tree. And the tree was a nice big tree. And it was growing out of Rishus HaYochid. And it's got a branch that is sticking into the Rishus HaRabim, and it landed on the branch that was sticking into Rishus HaRabim, and Rebbe says, okay, in terms of the secure placement, look at that branch as being firmly part of the ground because it's part of the trunk. The trunk is a mokum arba al arba, so that would be fine. Whereas Rabbanan say, no, now if it's in a different reshus, you can't consider the piece of branch that's sticking into the other reshus to be firmly implanted, and yet on the other hand, to be in a different reshus. And that's what they're arguing on. It has nothing to do about whether you need a mokum arba al arba. It has to do whether we can consider the trunk, which is the mokum arba al arba, to be affecting the status of the branch that's jutting in, and that is the point. So forget it. It does not help you to claim that it's going like that, Rebbe. You didn't say which statement of Rebbe, but that statement of Rebbe is not going to help. Let's try another one. Okay, says Gemara. How? Sorry?
This is not the extension of arba arba, but understanding of arba arba.
Sorry?
This is not the extension of arba arba.
I don't know why you want to do that. You're confusing matters. The question of arba al arba is the question of secure placement. It doesn't matter how far up in the air or how far horizontally your mokum arba al arba extends, or even if it comes to a small point. That's what you're trying to say is an extension. I understand, but using that word is a bit confusing to us, because the idea over here is whether shadi Busser ikro. Is it all considered to be one big piece as if it's sitting comfortably? When you use the word extension, you seem to be excluding the shadi, meaning the throwing it towards the ikr. I'm just complaining about the use of the word. I'm afraid that it might be confusing. But that's the idea. Anyway, conceptually, it's an extension. So let's try another Rebbe. What Rebbe do we mean? Eloha Rebbe. Let's try the following Rebbe, Netanya. Zarak mi reshut harabim l'reshut harabim v'reshut hayachid be'emtza. Ah, now we're getting there. Except that it's the opposite case. We're throwing from one reshus harabim to a second reshus harabim, and there's a reshus hayachid in the middle. And the reshut hayachid in the middle did not stop. Let's say a guy throws a ball from one reshus harabim to another reshus harabim, and in the middle there's this place where there had been walls that surrounded it and went straight over that, right? So the din over there is, according to Rebbe, you're chayev. Whoa, how are you chayev? You're chayev for going from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim. The Chachamim say you're potter. And, as a matter of fact, Rebbe Yehuda pointed out that Shmuel said that when Rebbe was Machayev, he was Machayev twice. He was Machayev once for Hotza'ah and once for Hachnasah. So apparently the very fact that the ball crossed over the Rishut HaYachid meant that it had been firmly within that Rishut HaYachid. Now, my gosh, you can't get a more powerful statement of Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya than that, can you? And he said it beferish, the way Shmuel tells us, both directions, both vis-a-vis Akira and vis-a-vis Hanocha, and that seems to finally satisfy the requirements of understanding a yad that although it is not a mokam arba al arba, who cares? If it would be floating in midair, it would still be considered to be within the Rishus HaKoshik, and if it's in your hand, and that explains it. Alma lo ba'inan lo akira v'lo anacha, meaning that we don't need either. Neither akira nor anacha agabi makom arba al arba. Yeah, that would have been a great proof, except for the problem that Shmuel himself, who said that pshat, explains Rebbe's case. And Itmar Allah, Rav and Shmuel, both of them said, you know what the case that Rebbe was talking about? He was talking about a kid who threw a baseball through somebody's living room. And there was a window on one side and a window on the other side. He threw it straight through the window, went through the living room, out the other window, and the other kid on the other side of the house caught the ball. Brilliant. Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. Because if he threw it through the window, it meant that he threw it through a room that was covered by a roof. And if you throw something through a room that's covered by a roof, there's a completely different issue that needs to be taken into consideration in terms of secure placement. And that is that since Rishut HaYachid Mikorad has a roof over it, the din is that we view it as Beta Kamanda Malia Damya. We see the entire area as if it were completely filled. So it's different when you're in an airspace hovering, so to speak, within the space, or when you're in an enclosed space, which even on the top is enclosed, and therefore we view it as being filled with ether. The old-fashioned ether comes finally to the rescue, and therefore it is not simply hovering in space, it's being held in place by the ether of the space. But if it would be Eina Mikura, Rebbe would never have said Kluta Kamisha Uncha Damya just because it's floating in the space. There's no such thing. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, okay, fine, so why don't we learn that the Mishnah is talking about that there was a roof over the Ani and over the Balabayit, and therefore, this is Rebbe who says, you don't have to worry about the hand. You don't need a Mokam Arba Al Arba because there's a roof. Now we got a new thing to learn. Roofs only work over Rishus HaYochid. But if you put a roof over Rishus HaRabim, you just canceled the Rishus HaRabim because Rishus HaRabim can't be roofed. So if that's the case, how would you figure out that both cases in the Mishnah as talking about putting it into a hand that is roofed because the Oni's hand couldn't have been roofed and therefore it won't help you very much? So v'chitei malchinam b'mikorah, that's all very nice to talk about a Rishut HaYachid Mikorah, but Rishut HaRabim Mikorah mi mechayev, is there such a thing as a chiyev on a roof over Rishut HaRabim? Via Amar of Shmuel Bar Yoda, Amar Baba, Amar Abuna, Amar Rav, if you moved an object, Arba Amot, in a Rishut HaRabim, that had this nice roofing, like let's say in Mamila Mall or something, right? So over there, it would not be a Rishut HaRabim at all, you would be potter. Lefisha eno dome ledigle midbar. It's not similar to the Rishut HaRabim that took place in the midbar, and therefore we cannot call it a Rishut HaRabim. So that's not the answer. So we're still stuck. Why indeed is a hand considered to be a mokum that is mechayev you, both for Akira and for Hanacha, if we cannot figure another reason, such as Kluta Kamisha Unchadamya, or such as Mikorah? What's going on? We leave with that exciting question.